native Texan, a filmmaker, Alex Jones, has been promoting a libertarian Bill of Rights culture and fighting the police state for more than 10 years. His documentary films explore the architecture of the ruling elite's control system. Jones is an expert on secret societies, including the cult Skull and Bones, which we've talked about before. He has appeared on several national television programs and played a key role as himself in Richard Linklater's Waking Life. He has produced a total of 10 documentary films and published 2 books related to police state, secret societies, and government-sponsored terrorism. Tonight on Coast to Coast, for the entire program, Alex Jones. Alex, we share a mutual friend, by the way. Do you know who that is? Nurse Joyce Riley.
Absolutely. She's a wonderful American, and she's very blessed to be able to come on your gigantic radio broadcast and reach so many people. And, George, I'm honored to be here. You certainly are not censoring, and you're standing up for the First Amendment, and very daring. You have a lot of courage.
Well, a long time ago in a far-off land, Alex, as I got to know Joyce Riley and began to understand some of the things that she was saying as just gospel and truth, and I started doing my own investigating, I realized that this lady knows what she's talking about. When I started doing Coast to Coast several years ago, I started getting a lot of emails from people who said, George, you got to listen to Alex Jones. Listen to what he's saying. So I just started looking at your website a couple of years ago and just started monitoring some of the things that you have done. And it intrigues me, Alex. It intrigues me by the way you've done your investigating, by you also sticking your neck out in the noose. And I figured, you know what, it's time to chat with you on Coast to Coast to give everybody an opportunity to hear you, hear some of your views, and also, more importantly, for you to tell us how you were able to do some of the things you've done tonight. And that's what I find to be very fascinating about you. How did this all start for you? I mean, you just didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to start investigating these things. What happened?
I was in college here in Austin, and I would sit there. It didn't matter if it was psychology or math or speech, and it was all world government's good, owning guns is bad, we've got to go into this new world order. And then I would watch the nightly news, and they'd say, anybody that talks about a new world order is insane. It doesn't exist. There's no global government coming. And I'd go, wait a minute, all I'm being told at college here in Austin is that the world government's here and it's wonderful, and we need to have these big, giant central banks running everything and the World Trade Organization and free trade and open borders are good. And so I started researching, and I went down and got a little local cable show, and then I got a little radio show, and I started making documentaries. And basically, at first I was just this conservative. We need to cut taxes, and the Republicans are going to be our saviors. And about 8 years ago, I started figuring out that they were just the other side of the coin, the old adage goes, that it's controlled opposition, and that really they fight when it comes to the rhetoric, but the actions are almost identical. What a great example of Kerry and Bush, who were arguably 16th to third cousins. Different news articles say different things.
That's right.
Both related to Hugh Hefner, and members of the same secret society, this death cult. And this isn't a real election. This isn't a real choice. And so basically I would just watch C-SPAN and see a bill passed. I'd read the bill. Then I'd watch CNN and see the opposite being reported, or Fox or any of these channels. And I started just asking questions. And the more questions that I answered, obviously the more rabbit trails I went down. And then over time I started seeing, as I call it, the architecture of this system. And now I really do have the big picture, to the point of 2 months before 9/11, I got on my local TV show, on the website, and that story's posted on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, and I said that there's going to be attacks on Lower Manhattan. It's going to be blamed on the CIA asset, Osama bin Laden. And I said, call Congress, call the White House, and tell them to pull off the shadow government, which I want to state is above Bush and above all these people. They're just low-level minions for their overlords. And, again, I'm on record laying that out,
yes,
warning the people. And then 2 years ago, I was at a little meeting, and just happened to run into a White House official that I cannot name, and he was bragging that bin Laden had died of kidney failure, had been handed over, that he would be rolled out right before the election. And I put it on the site, on the website, and I said, look, I don't know if this is disinfo. Why would this person tell me this? And this was in early 2002. And when I talked to the individual, I also said, well, we're about to go into Iraq, aren't we? They were saying it was going to happen in 2002. He said, no, it happens in February or March of 2003. That's when it's going to happen. And so when that took place, I said, wow, this was pretty credible. I don't know, they're just giving me disinfo.
Mm-hmm.
Then Madeleine Albright, in December, the former Secretary of State, goes on Fox News and tells somebody in the green room, yeah, we've already got him. We're going to roll him out soon, or that's what Bush is going to do. Then Senator Grassley starts saying it. Then all these other public officials, top military, start saying it. Very, very scary because it's now admitted. But, again, this gets put in the back of the paper, and people just remember the big headline, that the Kurds did have Saddam for a month. And they just quietly later admitted that, but then it just got, you know, passed over.
Right, exactly.
And so over and over again, this is happening, and it's very scary. It'll be a perfect ace in the hole, pun intended, with the Saddam thing, to bring out another ace in the hole and, you know, claim he died in a gun battle or something. And then, of course, his family and the Carlaw group and everyone is rewarded nicely for playing along.
And a couple of our regular guests, Alex, have reported that bin Laden has already been captured. And I also found it intriguing that Iranian radio a few weeks ago reported that he was captured in Pakistan. And the Pakistanis, of course, jumped up and down and said, no, he's not been captured yet. Yet there continues to filter to all of us, including you, I'm sure, reports of increased activity, and this increased activity is almost as if it's a good example when you do roll them out, because you say, look what we were doing.
Oh, yes, our military has taught them. And George, I know you want to get into Patriot Act and so many different issues, and it's just so amazing to be on your show, one of the biggest shows with one of the best audiences in the entire country. I'm totally honored, as I was saying earlier. But it's important, just for people tuning in for the first time, understand, I don't have an axe to grind. I'm not a liberal or a conservative. I love freedom. I just want the truth. Because what happens is, if I start exposing George Bush or John F. Kerry or somebody, if you criticize somebody on the left, oh, you must be a right-winger. If you criticize somebody on the right, you must be a communist. And I just want people to know that, again, what I want them to realize is that there really is this man behind the curtain creating this illusion, and if we just cut through that illusion, we can really stop some horrible things from happening, because the shadow government is going to continue to use terror as their pretext with problem reaction solution to really set up a society that makes Brave New World in 1984 look like a happy place to live.
Years ago, Alex, as I was watching television as a kid, there was a TV show that would come on, and it would always begin the program by saying, democracy is a poor form of government, but all the others are far much worse. And I used to listen to that, and I used to take that to school with me, and I took it to college with me, and I went, all right, that's absolutely true. It is a poor form of government, but it's the best that's out there. At what point, as Americans, did we begin to start losing the real freedoms that you and I have been able to realize that we've been losing? When do you think it started?
Well, I mean, I think it started day one. Anytime you have a big government, anytime you have powerful individuals, they're going to want more power and to expand and maintain the power they already have. And so we've had evils in this country. We've had slavery. We've had what happened to the Native Americans. But as you said, you know, America has been better compared to most other countries, and I love this nation. But at the same time, after the Civil War, that helped centralize power in Washington and start destroying states' rights. And then we had the 17th Amendment that took our senators away from the states and made them their own federal viceroys. And we got the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 that happened at the same time. And so we saw the centralization there. Then we had the War Powers Act, day one, when Roosevelt got in. And he, of course, confiscated the gold and gave people paper back. And then on from that point, 1947 is probably one of the most critical times when the National Security Act was passed, and that's when the shadow government was really able to form, and over the decades, the last 50-plus years, trillions of dollars in the aggregate have gone into this structure, and it has empowered the elites that took over the government at the turn of the last century. It's turned them into just absolutely almost invincible with their advanced technological system.
Now, can we say it's also worldwide?
Of course it's worldwide, but America was so wealthy that we've kind of been used as the energy source for this elite with our ingenuity, our factories, our personnel to go out and take over the planet for these people.
And it happens very rapidly now, and you can feel it, you can see it. So many people that we talk to sense something that is going on.
There's a huge acceleration. You're absolutely right.
Let's begin this, because there's so many things I want to talk about, and I'm sure the clock is going to get us. And I do want to open up the phone lines at the end of the program for people to chat with you as well, Alex. But let's talk about this organization in this location called Bohemian Grove. Tell me a little bit about what that is, and then we'll find out how you were able to infiltrate that.
Sure. Just a key point is that the video I shot that's in my film, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, my two-hour video that shows us going to Northern California, the infiltration, the British media, national British media covering our infiltration, they took the footage I got and made their own documentary that's aired all over the world, Germany, Japan, England, and, of course, over 20 times here on the Trio Network, Secret Rulers of the World. And the Bohemian Grove Club has a statement at the end and says, yes, Mr. Jones got this video, but his views on what we're doing are different from ours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to state that that's what they had to say. So the group admits that I got this footage. That's not debated. And on the website we have the Washington Times and the Sacramento Bee and all these articles going back 30-plus years where they admit that these presidents and the prime ministers and chancellors go there for 15 days during July. So what is Bohemian Grove?
And who owns it?
It is a private club based in San Francisco, but the actual 2,700-acre redwood grove in between a bunch of hills, it's like a fortress with one entrance, is in Sonoma County in between the seacoast and Santa Rosa.
Okay.
In beautiful wine country up there. I mean, you live in California, I'm sure you've
yes.
been nearby and seen it. I mean,
yeah, I'm not there. I'm new to California, so I haven't really stretched my tentacles yet.
Well, you ought to visit the area. I mean, it's very nice and nice people. But in 1872, the property was bought by some newspaper men and some local judges and some of the local, uppity folks,
mm-hmm.
the wealthy people, the nouveau riche there in San Francisco. By the turn of the century, it had been taken over, and Presidents Howard Taft and others were going there, and there's been articles written about how then all the artists and writers and people and the local constabulary were all thrown out. And sometime around the turn of the century, they erected this 45-foot stone owl. I mean, if you'd like, I can go through the whole story, but...
Yeah, no, because I got to tell you, I didn't know about this until about a year ago when people were telling me about you. And, I mean, that's how naive I was about this location and the people who go there.
Well, same thing happened to me. I mean, I had gotten emails about it, seen a few news articles, and the British media, A World of Wonder, a Channel 4 out of the U.K., I was at a Waco Remembrance. You know, I was there giving a speech with the former Attorney General Ramsey Clark and others,
mm-hmm.
and these British guys walk up and go, Alex, have you heard of the Bohemian Grove? And they said, we're afraid to infiltrate it, and plus we can't because of liability, but would you do it, and could we cover you doing it? And I said, absolutely, and they go, and they told me that they had people inside that worked there, and they had maps in. And I took the challenge up, and I did it, and they covered my infiltration of the Grove. But for those that, in a nutshell, this is what the Grove is.
Okay.
Okay. Helmut Schmidt, the German chancellor, in his own autobiography, Men in Power, is a political retrospective. I mean, he wrote it. And he was the German chancellor back in the 80s, before Helmut Kohl and now Gerhard Schroeder. This is the best way to explain what it is. He says in his book, and this is in my film, close-ups of what he wrote himself, I'm in the Trilateral Commission, I'm in the CFR, I'm in the Bilderberg Group, we are the New World Order, we run everything. And he says, I love the Druid rituals we do in Germany at our sacred groves, but he said, my favorite place to do the rituals, and this is his book, this is in the library.
Right.
He said, my favorite place to do the rituals, he said, Druidic rituals was what he called it, is the Bohemian Grove I go every year. And we have a photo of him from their own annals, by the way, that's never before been seen. I've got one of these, and it's one of their private books, and I've now posted it. It shows Helmut Schmidt before the OWL giving a speech back in the early 1990s after he was out of office. So this is part of the German death cults that also formed in 1832 Skull and Bones at Yale. And Skull and Bones was founded to overthrow the U.S., to put their own president in. John Quincy Adams was hunting these people down as traitors. Their groups had been outlawed by the president, folks. This is in the encyclopedia. Again, all this is history. It sounds incredible, but this really happened.
It's right there. Black and white for everybody to see. Go ahead, Alex.
Absolutely. It's all just, you know, Encyclopedia Britannica, folks. And so they set up this German death cult, because the public knows it as Skull and Bones. The real name is the Order of Death. And so they set, and then later that grew into some of the Nazi societies in Germany. You know, Hitler didn't invent the swastika. He didn't invent the death cult. He didn't invent the black uniforms, any of this. This came out of the Thule Society and others that grew out of the Illuminati, mm-hmm. and that then grew into Skull and Bones. So these guys, Taft and others, who were all Skull and Bones, they then, at the turn of the last century, go and take over the grove, erect this Canaanite god Moloch that's in your dictionary, the Canaanite god that they sacrificed Israelite children to in a fire pit before it. They erect this, they set this up, and, you know, here I am reading all these news articles before I fly out to California and try to sneak in during the 15-day encampment from July 15th to July 30th. And, I mean, I was scared before I snuck in. We can tell that story later if you'd like.
Sure.
I'm thinking, man, this is incredible. Because the news said, yeah, there's a big idol, and no one's ever been able to get photos or video, and, you know, they dress up in these black and red robes, and they're just having fun. And
this was just a little club place, right?
Yeah, just a little club place. And, you know, and it's Christian conservatives mainly, you know, the leaders, all these big governors and people. Why, they're just having some fun. But people who snuck in and tried to get video had been arrested and their stuff confiscated. This had happened several times. A People magazine reporter was grabbed. I mean, a lot of stuff has happened. And so, well,
I'll tell you, we're going to come up to a break, Alex. Hold that thought. We'll be right back with you. Alex Jones, my guest tonight, and we're going to figure out how he infiltrated the Bohemian Grove, how he got in there, and some of the incredible things he was able to see. We'll be back in a moment with his story, and there's much more ahead on Coast to Coast AM.
From the City of Angels, Premier Radio Networks presents Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And our guest tonight, Alex Jones, I want to give you a couple of Alex's websites. They're linked up with coasttocoastam.com right now, but it's info, I-N-F-O, wars, just one word, infowars.com. The other one is prisonplanet.com. Both of them very easy to remember. April edition is being worked on right now by the editors of After Dark. Should be another dandy. And let me tell you, we only got a couple weeks left of the free CD offer of Art Bell's interview many years ago with the late Father Malachi Martin, this one on exorcisms. Couple ways to take advantage of the free CD and get the newsletter. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. The other way is coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Alex Jones. And a little bit later on, we're also going to tell you where you can hear Alex whenever you want to. Alex, let's pick up the Bohemian Grove. So you're getting all this data about what's going on there, and you're starting to get a little scared, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of that, George, I've been sitting there with Good Morning America about to go live on television, and I wasn't one-tenth as nervous as I am being on with you, because I know that, talk radio, like your show, is really the only place left where you truly have those massive audiences. Television is so so broken up and in little, you know, fractured pieces. And again, it's wonderful to be here. You asked an important question early on, you know, how did I get started? How did I get into this?
Mm-hmm.
And it might be good to explain why the British media approached me to infiltrate the Grove. And that was because I got into this fighting the police state. I would go follow special forces around during urban warfare training drills. You know, I've got video of black helicopters chasing me through the swamps. And I know, folks, they say those don't exist. But on the website, I have the Associated Press and all these other, you know, hundreds of news articles about the urban warfare training drills in Houston and South Texas and North Carolina. And so I had gone up against these guys, not against our military, but against the program that they were part of, desensitizing us, you know, for this whole martial law system that's being set up. And I guess we can talk about the Patriot Act later.
Right.
So, I mean, I was accustomed, I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie. I enjoyed going out with my cameras and flying around the country and, you know, videotaping the urban warfare training and basically the massive desensitization that was taking place against the population. But I was didn't have any fear doing that, but I did have a lot of fear when I snuck through the woods and you know, got past the Secret Service and got into the Bohemian Grove.
Is that how you got in?
Absolutely. The Bohemian Grove, for those, I guess, that just joined us, is, again, this 2,700-acre redwood grove hemmed in Northern California, about an hour and a half north of San Francisco, by, I guess, what you'd call small mountains, large hills. It's right on the Russian River.
Well, that's appropriate, isn't it?
Absolutely. And these cliffs rise, you know, straight up. There's only one entrance out of the small town of Monterillo that's literally at the gates of the Bohemian Grove. There's just one small entrance into it, and then it has natural walls basically around the 2,700 acres. And so talking to insiders who had worked there, talking to some of the locals, I was told the only way to really sneak in was that simply when a group of the Grove members would walk back through the gates, because the town's about a quarter mile away, and some of the elitist, and I mean, again, German chancellors, British prime ministers,
sure,
American presidents, when they walk back in sometimes in a group, that some locals had actually walked in with them. But because I wasn't an average age of, you know, 70 years old, the crowd's very old there. This
okay.
isn't like, you know, Skull and Bones when they were, you know, 20 years
Youngsters,
old.
Youngsters, that's right.
I mean, you see a lot of people who look like they're 95 years old in there. I decided to, there's kind of a moat dug off the side of the little blacktop road that goes in. They've got three guard shacks in there. There's a little moat that then goes up into a parking area, and then even after you get in the parking area, you have to go back through another, I guess you'd say German-style guard shack in the middle of the road with the classic gates that, you know, lower down in front of it. They've got surveillance cameras in the trees. They've got the local sheriff's department. They'll have CHIPS police out front. They don't go inside. They've got Secret Service. They've got, you know, helicopters. In the film, I interview locals who will be 5 miles away and, you know, pulled over by Secret Service and asked what they're doing. So I simply just had the British media drop me off Channel 4 about 0.2 mile down the road. And it's, again, a dark road, huge redwoods leading up to this gate. And I climbed through the barbed wire fence down through the muck, jumping from tree stump to, you know, limbs in the mud, and thank God didn't get too muddy through there, so I could still blend in.
Well, what'd you do about equipment?
I had a small hidden camera, digital Sony camera,
okay,
in a fanny pack on my side, and then it was hooked to a what looked like a pager on my belt, and that's how I got the footage.
Okay.
And then I climbed up into the parking area. And they have these big open air, looks like 1950s trucks, but they're all, you know, done up fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was driving around picking up members of the Grove and servants and employees of it. And I simply walked up calmly and climbed up in the back of the vehicle and sat down, and there were only two other gentlemen in it, and of course the driver, and they start talking about their robes. Do you have your robe ready? Oh, yes, I have my robe. I mean, there's footage of all this. And then it drives through. It stops at another checkpoint, that German-style checkpoint with the guard shack in the middle of the road, a larger guard shack with security personnel all over the place. And you didn't see women inside the Grove, but I did see a woman there, an older woman there, and she climbed up in the back with another gentleman behind her and just stared me right in the eyes. I just smiled at her and waved at her.
Yeah.
And then she nodded, and we all just drove on in.
And you must have been saying to yourself, this is too easy.
Well, absolutely. But, I mean, at that point, I was at the point of no return, and I knew that everybody else had been caught, had been busted trying to sneak in. That is, they'd been caught and then thrown out or caught and arrested and had their cameras confiscated.
Mm-hmm.
And these were mainstream media outlets. In one case, one of the major CEOs, one of the biggest in the country, saw his employee there, and they just took his camera and stuff away.
The employee was spying on the CEO. He wanted to report back to the stockholders, or probably.
Yeah, that was a famous case back in the mid '80s. Also in the mid '80s, CBS tried to fly a helicopter over, and was driven off by the Secret Service helicopter during the cremation of CARE. So people have really tried to get this footage, and I chalk it up to God's grace that I got in. And once I had gotten in, and of course I should probably also add that a friend of mine who's done some camera work for me, though I was carrying a hidden camera,
mm-hmm.
Mike Hansen also snuck in with me. There were two of us.
Oh, you were going in together?
Yes, we were going
okay.
in together. That's the
okay.
key point. See, that's the frustration here, is I know that there's just so many facets to this, George. So perhaps you should ask the questions in the different areas you'd like to know about.
Okay, because what we'll do is we'll just jump start into different areas. You get in. I'm curious, what time of day was it? Was there a lot of sun, or were we getting close to darkness?
Okay, every July 15th, there's a bunch of rituals that have been reported on, and in the mainstream media, just, oh, they have this ritual on that date and this other ritual on this other date. We've heard, but we can't confirm it. But the big one is July 15th every year. They call it the cremation of CARE. So we knew that happened at sunset, and during the summer, that's at about 9 o'clock Pacific.
Okay.
And so I snuck in at about 4:30, broad daylight, and which later I think was a mistake because I got questioned three separate times.
Well, now tell me about that. So you get off this truck.
Yes.
And where are you when you get off? And then I assume they start coming up to you, right?
Yes. There's a blacktop road that runs down the middle of the 2,700 acres. And going up on both sides of you, and then when you get to the back of the property in front of you, are 500, 600, 700-foot sheer walls. It's like a castle. It's like a natural keep or defense. It's kind of like Helm's Deep. From the two towers, okay? And there's only one entrance, and then it's just sheer cliffs going up, and then on top of those cliffs are more redwoods, and there's giant redwoods down in the gorge with you that is anywhere from between 300 yards wide down to just 100 yards
yeah.
wide, and built up into the sides on both sides of the gorge are these big log cabins with their servants and all this live music being played by all these orchestras and musicians that they bring in to serve them. And, again, this is the creme de la creme, all the big CEOs, governors, prime ministers. And I'm walking around seeing these people. So we got off the truck, and I told Mike, I said, look, we have got to get to cover. And right about that point, and, of course, we're just calmly talking, right about that point, a sheriff's deputy walks up and asks us if we're with the old ones.
Uh-oh.
And he said, 1913. And I said, oh, yes, I'm with the hillbillies. Because they have 100 camps, and they have names like Lost Boys, Dragon, Devil. It's just like Skull and Bones.
Well, how did you know how to say I'm with the hillbillies?
Well, because, again, that had been in some of the news articles that the Bushes aren't in the top-level camp. It's also set up where you have different camps. Mandalay is the highest camp, and then down from that is the Hillbillies. And I had read that the Bushes and others were in a camp called the Hillbillies. And so, you know, I had a Texas accent. I said, I'm with the Hillbillies.
And they hit, okay, come on in, right?
Yeah, I just smiled at them and, you know, was confident. And they said, you know, all right, and just said, enjoy yourselves, trouble yourselves not. Every time you'd be walking fast or you know, showing any type of, you know, strenuous behavior, someone would run up and say, please, trouble yourselves not. The cares are off your shoulders. You know, very occultic, weird stuff going on. So then I tell Mike, I say, look, we've got to get to cover. And so some of the camps, you know, that is party houses, basically, were empty. So we try to, you know, go into one and sit at a wood table. And as soon as we did that, a servant would walk out and ask if we wanted some wine. And that's why I'd get up and say, no, thank you, bye.
Yep, off to the next spot.
You know, off to the next spot. So finally we get down to a bridge across a gorge. And then that leads us up to the top of a big hill overlooking the Russian River and just a sheer rock cliff. Couldn't go any further. And we're sitting there, you know, totally quiet. I noticed a surveillance camera in one of the trees, which they admit the whole place is heavily surveilled. And then all of a sudden, here comes an older gentleman, and obviously with security, but he was just wearing a law enforcement green windbreaker over his police uniform. And he asked us, he says, who are you with? And I said, well, again, we're with the old ones, because they'd ask us, are you with the old ones, 1930?
Right.
And I just confidently smiled at him. I guess he didn't want to put me out. And so he said, all right, well, have a good one. So then I tell Mike, look, let's just get out of here. Let's get off this scenic overlook here, you know, at the end of the grove, you know, the dead end. Let's go back. And then as I'm walking back down the hill towards this guard shack that we had seen there, I looked into it. There were all these banks of television screens. We walk back over the bridge, get back down into the main gorge, and are going back towards all the encampments built into the sides of the cliffs. And this time, two guys in suits walk over with earpieces ask us what we're doing. And we again calmly tell them that we're here with the Hillbillies. And at that point, they leave us alone.
It's amazing how you were able to just get through so far.
Absolutely. So we're going back in because now it's been a few hours, and we know in a few more hours it's going to be dark. And we know the cremation of care, this Babylonian slash Canaanite sacrifice ritual that we've heard so much about is going to be taking place at dusk. And so I tell Mike, I go, that's it. Let's just, there were a few paths and steps going up into some of the buildings that were built higher up in the cliff walls. I said, let's just go all the way up there. Let's just go into the you know, bushes somewhere. Mm-hmm. The problem is everything's so steep, there weren't really bushes up there, just big redwoods. I said, let's hide out somewhere. So we finally went up there for a couple hours, hid behind one of the camps. I believe it was Spider's Web. And there were weird, you know, skull regalia, giant skulls on signs up in the trees with the names of famous pirates. Again, that pirate motif that,
right,
that Skull and Bones is into. So we hide out until it starts getting dusk. And down below us, and we're probably 500 feet, you know, up in the gorge at this point, we hear chanting and singing, and it's like something out of the Hall of the Mountain King.
About how many people, Alex, do you think were down there, out there?
There's about 1,200 members, and some of them can bring guests. They say 2,000 grove attendees and another 1,000 servants there at the grove, and then a lot of them bring their own private valets. I mean, royalty goes to this.
So this is huge, this event.
This is absolutely huge. And so we're walking back down the gorge, servants are coming up and saying, oh, you're walking too quick. Trouble yourselves not. The cares are off your shoulders, groveling to us, and we're both, you know, look like we're 30 years old. And we're going, okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And as we walk down, and I've got video of this, as we walk down, there are hundreds of these long tables with people all chanting and singing, you know, in what sounds like Gaelic, and engaging in all this bizarre, you know, drunkenness. It's like something out of Conan the Barbarian, you know, in a feasting scene. And then all of a sudden they start ringing a bell, and it's getting dark, and this huge crowd gets up, and there's this, you know, bizarre operatic singing coming from the darkness, and there's this 150-yard-long pool or small pond with this huge stone owl with 13 black steps going up to it, with this stone black altar and this Aladdin's lamp burning. And we went and stood with the crowd there at the edge of the water, and for the next hour videotaped the cremation of care ceremony. And they, again, came out in their red and black robes. It was just like a church service.
Alex, were there other people there trying to videotape who were part of the group, or were you the only person there? I mean, how did you hold your camera, for example?
No. Again, the camera was on a fanny pack, inside a fanny pack on my side, hooked to a fake pager.
So you just kind of use that as the eyepiece, I guess, or the lens.
That's why some of the camera works great. Some of it's sketchy, because I'd have somebody step in front of me during a ritual, and you'll see me step around them and try to aim my waist at the ceremony.
Sure. So it's almost hip mounted, practically.
No, it was hip mounted. It was just like a pager.
Okay.
On my hip, and It was total darkness now. There's no lights illuminating the owl. I'm there with about 1,500 people across the water. It's about 150 yards long, 50 yards across. We're across from it. I'm about 50 yards away from the ritual. All of a sudden, you hear this weird chanting, and out comes these men in black robes with torches. And they then go and assemble in front of the owl, and then all of a sudden this high priest comes out in this silver outfit with this red cape with this pointy clan hat on, and, you know, classic Illuminati stuff.
Sure.
And, you know, because the clan folks are wannabes of all of this. They're imitating it. And then out comes more of these people involved in the ritual in red hoods and green hoods, and it looks like something out of Eyes Wide Shut.
I was just going to ask you that. The same thing, the chants, everything.
Absolutely, minus the $1,000-an-hour prostitutes. We didn't see any of that there, though mainstream media has reported, and I have those articles on my site, that, again, I was there at the kickoff. July 15th is the kickoff. Supposedly, there's a bunch of other rituals. It's a lot wilder. I was just there for 4.5 hours.
All right, Alex, when we come back, explain why they even have this episode, why it happens, why some of the people who are in government and in shadow government participate in this, because of the message behind this. There's something else going on. We'll be back in a moment. Alex Jones, my guest, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Yes, the shadow government. Our guest tonight, Alex Jones. Alex, so at the Bohemian Grove, I trust you got out of there okay, without any trouble, or did something happen?
Again, thanks to the grace of God, I did make it in at 4:30 in the afternoon, and I did get out at about 10 o'clock at night. The ritual was about an hour long, and then as soon as we got the footage, we were probably about, the stone owl Moloch idols about 600 yards in. We hiked out of there as quickly as possible, and the guards at the front gate didn't even give us a side glance leaving. It was harder getting in than obviously getting out, because the Grove members routinely walked down, again, the half mile to the little town there of Monterio in Northern California. But we had left off with the ritual. I had come down out of the hills from hiding out from the Secret Service and the private security and, of course, the Sheriff's Department that were inside. And I was there in a crowd of about 1,500 world leaders. I mean, I was there it was governors, it was prime ministers, it was CEOs, a lot of famous people. And I'm standing there, you know, in amongst them. And obviously, this was for outer initiates. When you study the occult, we were like the folks, you know, at a Baptist church service, in the pews, and
mm-hmm.
You've got the choir who is, and again, I'm not saying the Baptist church is this, I'm using it as an analogy.
Right, I understand.
But you've got the lower level priests that are like the choir and the deacons, and all in different colored robes, most of them in black robes, then an inner circle in red, and then a smaller inner circle in green, and then several in silver robes with the high priest in a silver robe with a pointed hat with a red cape, and he had a curved staff. And they basically worshiped the owl. They told it that they wanted the owl to Moloch, great owl of Bohemia, great owl of goodly Tyre and Babylon. And, of course, Tyre was there just north of Israel on the Mediterranean. That's where the Moloch worship began.
Well, did it look like a just an outing in a game, or did these people really take themselves seriously out there?
Oh, many members of the crowd were grinding their teeth saying, kill him, kill the bastard, I can't say it on the radio, it was religious ecstasy for many of the older men. Some of their guests were, just watching it very intently.
Mm-hmm.
So you had different levels of people who were aware of what they were witnessing. I mean, real occultism, real Babylon mystery religion isn't Anton LaVey jumping around with a plastic pitchfork in a red suit. This is the real deal. This is the real Illuminati. This is the heart of the Illuminati. This is, all the members of Skull and Bones go to this. Democrats, Republicans, this is their high holy place, according to German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt in his own autobiography.
But it's not just a Skull and Bones outing, right?
Oh, no. Skull and Bones make up the hierarchy of it. And again, it's chapter 322. There are other chapters of Skull and Bones. There are other chapters,
yes,
in Germany. There are other chapters in England. There are other chapters in this country. This is just a recruiting ground. This is the big leagues. Okay, this is Skull and Bones is minor league recruitment. This is the big leagues. This is outdoors in a gorge, 45-foot stone, a Babylonian sacrifice idol, and it's so important for folks to realize that they can go to InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, or just go over to CoastToCoastAM.com and link through to the photos, the video clips, the news articles, because I know this is amazing. It's hard to believe. I was there with my mouth just hanging open. But the ritual went on for an hour, and about 10 minutes towards the end, back to where I was. Again, it's such a long story to try to encapsulate.
And what's so bizarre, Alex, is that some of our elected officials, some of them, top CEOs and politicos and world leaders, are spending their time at this kind of ritual because that will set the tone, I think, for some of the things you and I will talk about tonight, and that is what they're planning and what they're doing. And
absolutely. They believe in numerology. They believe in the occult. I mean, even if you're an atheist, you have to understand that they believe it. I've had atheists say, well, I don't believe in God. And I go, well, you don't believe in God. The point is these people do, and they believe in, the dark vision of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is a window into their psyches, into their mindsets, even if you don't believe in spiritual things, which I think is foolish, folks. But the point is I do, especially after going to this place. The point is our world leaders do. They're trying to sell us on materialism and being shallow and all this humanistic stuff. But whereas in reality, they're obsessed with the occult. They're obsessed with the icons and the symbols of power and the all-seeing eye that, half our corporations have. That's what it's all about, and it goes back to these mystery religions, and this is the heart of it. So they begin to say, let those who have been here as members who have died, let their spirits now come forth. They do some necromancy. I mean, this is just, right out of the Old Testament. They call for their spirits to be there. They talk about the owl god as a female. They then address it as a male. They talk about the healing powers of the goddess. Then they talk about, the power of the male to not have a conscience and to rule and dominate and to go out and take over in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
This is a ritual. It's called the cremation of care. They admit it, the cremation of care. And this is their own ritual to not have a conscience.
Is it a pep rally?
It is. It is a satanic pep rally, period. That's a great way of putting it. And so they go through all these gyrations, and then all of a sudden you've been diverted watching the high priest talking to the owl, and the owl, talks to them. Of course, they have a loudspeaker and tells them how good they are and how they're going to have all this power because they follow it. And then all of a sudden, the torches are dimmed, and from down the little lake comes a boatman in a black hood, the Grim Reaper.
Oh, my God.
He even has the staff. And there's a bound body, a small body, and they call it an effigy. They make clear it's an effigy, and it, you know, is the size and shape of a child under a black tarp. And I'm getting chills just talking about this, especially on a show this big. It's probably not too good for my health, but the point is people need to know. And they, it stops. The high priest comes down. They lay their hands on it, do some type of ritual. They pick the bound body up, and they say it's an effigy. They make that clear. They bring it up to the altar, this black altar in front of Moloch, which, again, in your dictionary, Moloch, the Canaanite god, and unto which the Israeli children were, you know, kidnapped mm-hmm. By the Syrians and others and sacrificed. And they say that by sacrificing care, you know, by carrying out this ritual, they're not going to have a conscience. And the owl, you know, suddenly there's this voice saying, you know, this voice saying, you know, you can't do this, you can't burn this, you can't get rid of your care. And then the owl starts talking and says, yes, light your torch, high priest, on my eternal flame. And again, it's an Aladdin's lamp and, you know, a large oil-burning lamp.
Yeah.
And the high priest goes up, and he was very old. I mean, this was not an actor. This person had a lot of trouble, had to be helped up.
Mm-hmm.
He lights the torch, and then this voice screams, no, please don't. And they set it on fire, and it screams in pain. And, again, it's all done in a theatrical manner. And
we think.
Yeah, we think. And then all these old men around me were going, yes, yes, oh, yeah. I mean, that's what they were doing. And I started really getting scared. They were going, oh, yeah. And so I'm sitting here while this is all going on. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of torches light up all around the water. And everybody goes, you know, we've gone down, you know, to the altar. And at that point I said, let's go, and we got out of there with our footage, and I sat there making dubs for the British media that had claimed they were going to sail the next day. They, in total fear, got their dubs after about 2 hours, jumped in their car, and burned rubber out of there for the airport in San Francisco. And guess what? They sat there and dubbed the tapes. We watched the tapes be dubbed. When they mailed it to England, got erased.
No way.
Yes, and they had technicians look at it. You can tell when somebody's used the, you know, the demagnetizer.
Yeah, exactly.
There was still some digital stuff that had been erased. We mail it to L.A., to World of Wonder offices, erased again, and then finally we had to have somebody else under another name mail it to somebody in England who was an employee who then got the tapes to him.
Somebody leaked it that you were there, obviously. Somebody leaked it from the BBC because they were the only other ones who knew you were there, I guess.
Again, your guess is as good as mine, but people ask me, well, why are you still alive? Well, obviously, when they asked Jennifer Flowers on Hardball, you know, she said, well, the government's having all these people killed, and then Chris Matthews said, well, if that's the truth, why are you still alive? And she said, well, because I went public. You get whacked when you have it and you don't get it out. And, you know, that's why as soon as we got back, we put it on the web, got it out to people. I mean, it's scary stuff, but you know, some people say, well, would you have gone if you would have known it was real? And I have to be honest with people. I'm not going to sit here and be macho. Frankly, if I had it all over to do again, you know, it's like once you jump off a cliff into a, you know, cold lake.
Yeah.
You know, once you're in the air, there's no going back. Well, I've already done that and hit the bottom. But if I really, I mean, I was expecting to, I didn't believe this. I mean, I wanted to go find if it was true. I mean, I wasn't into researching secret societies and things before 2000. I was the police state guy. I was the guy that studied, you know, the concentration camps. I was the guy that studied the New World Order. And I'd hear, oh, there's all this occult stuff, and I'd roll my eyes, George. You know, I'd hear these shows talking about it and roll my eyes. And so I got challenged to do it. I snuck in. I got the footage because they were scared to do it. And it was true. It was true. And now I read about all the other stuff that supposedly goes on. And the people that made the claims about the ritual I shot, it was all accurate. Well, mm-hmm. The stuff that they claim is even wilder, and I want to think they're liars because it's so horrible to face this, and that's why these people get away with it, because they have this whole front of we're Christian, we're conservative, we're loving liberals, we want to help you by taking your freedoms away, and in reality, they're dressed up like Eyes Wide Shut, worshiping the most wicked fallen angel of the Old Testament.
Are they so bored, Alex, that they do this for fun and games, or are they just so power hungry that this just leads us into a different direction, and that is this shadow government?
Well, I have to tell you, George, and you probably know more about this than I do because you're constantly researching it as well, but we've got Tony Blair, London Guardian, Times of London last week, both posted on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, channeling the light. That's a high-level Illuminati term for Lucifer, to make his wartime decisions. I mean, this is admitted. We've got other presidents, you know, deciding on whether to go to war with Saudi according to their astrologer. And, you know, that's all just low-level stuff. So the point is, they really believe in this. And every time I study really powerful people, François Mitterrand, before he died of, what was it, prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is BBC Associated Press. And this sounds crazy. But the Louvre in France, he was known as the Sphinx, because he was so obsessed with obelisk, and he had a pharaoh complex. He thought he was a pharaoh, and he had that he had the American Chinese architect.
Well, and we know Hitler loved the occult.
Well, exactly. But François Mitterrand, out front of the Louvre, commissioned for tens of millions of dollars the 71-foot gold pyramid, and he demanded of the American architect, guess how many pieces of glass are in this gold pyramid?
I don't know.
666.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
No, and it's everywhere, time and time again, as you said, whether it's Hitler or whether it's Bush or whether it's Kerry or whether it's Blair or whether it's Schmidt or whether it's any of these people, they're prancing around, walking out of church services, you know, on certain holidays, oh, we're just good old conservative boys, and then I go to an event where the media admits they attend. Oh, it gets better. I got back the week after that event in July, and I go down, and this is in my film Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, and also in the Trio Network British documentary made from my footage. I go down in Bullhorn, the governor's mansion, while Bush is in there with Dick Cheney. And my mother calls me on the cell phone, and I talk to my mom about once a month. She says, son, you just got back from Bohemian Grove. They just announced that the decision was already made at, quote, the Bohemian Grove on CNN for Dick Cheney to be the VP running mate. No one had announced this yet. And then later, and here was Cheney in Texas just coming from the Bohemian Grove with George W. Bush.
That's where they cut the deal.
That's where they cut the deal. And here's the thing. They kind of use the University of California at Berkeley as a place to publish some of their own photos, some of their own writings. It's where they brag about their lakeside chats. They say they hatched the Manhattan Project there, the Star Wars program there, Homeland Security there. This is where the major deals get made. And they get made in an atmosphere. I mean, George, on the website, in the Bohemian Grove section, you guys are welcome to post all this you want on coasttocoastam.com. You know, there's a huge black ornate sign with a huge skull saying Lafitte. And, you know, Lafitte is the famous Illuminati pirate.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have all, again, the pirate regalia and imagery of Skull and Bones and the Jolly Roger. And all of this, and weird owls and skulls and little demon statues. I mean, it's macabre. It's gothic. And the point is, I didn't know if it was just, you know, old men acting like kids until the ritual was taking place. And to be there amongst all these billionaire old men and to have them grinding their teeth.
Yeah, this is serious business for them.
Listen, this is serious business for them. And look, I just hope people, and I do something that no one else I know does. When people get my videos, they're allowed to make copies of them. I've made 10 films, and as long as you make copies for non-profit, not for sale purposes, I want you to get them. I want you to research them. I want you to make copies of them, folks, and spread them around to everybody. Show them to your pastor and say, okay, here, you know, at the start of this video, there's 50 news articles, mainstream, showing that the Bushes are members of this. How can they be Christians when they admit that they are members of this Luciferian society. Now, I want you, Pastor, to face this and to give me an answer. And don't deny and say it's not real, because here's all the news articles. Before we go to California, before we show the video of the ritual, before we go through all that, before we go to the governor's mansion and confront the governor with the video we got, who's now president, we lay out all the news articles, Helmut Schmidt's book. This is a real place. This is a real thing. This is big boy Skull and Bones. This is the real deal. And, again, people can go to the websites or they can call toll-free to get the videos.
This is not just a Yale fraternity party, is it?
This is not a Yale fraternity party. This is where, look, Helmut Schmidt, the German chancellor, before Helmut Kohl, said in his own autobiography with his name on it, he said, I'm CFR, I'm Trilateral, I'm Bilderberg, but let me tell you my favorite place on earth, it's the Grove. We've got our own groves in Germany. We do our own rituals, but I go every year. My favorite time of the year is the 15 days I spend in Northern California. And so this is a very important place. People need to know about Bohemian Grove as much as they know about Skull and Bones, because it's much bigger. It's much more serious. It's not 15 graduates each year. It's thousands of world leaders.
These people, Alex, these people, there's got to be then a major mission here, a big plan, something that they want to accomplish. And do you believe it is that one world government, that total control?
Absolutely. The ritual is about not having a conscience as they dominate us. And George, if people want to know about Bohemian Grove, the film is Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, and the toll-free number to order it, and there's operators there right now in the middle of the night, 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. And we also have a Yahoo secure, safe online shopping cart when there's clips of all the videos, all of that available at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And if people will get the film, make copies, give them to their neighbors, then we can truly – because the average person cannot believe the evil of powerful men. But who was it, Lord Acton, that said power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely?
Absolutely.
You said it earlier. They're on such a – they have so much power that they have to do this to go to the next level, you know, to get themselves off.
All right, we will be back in a moment with my guest, Alex Jones. Don't go away. And we'll open up the phone lines at the top of the hour so you can have an opportunity to talk with Alex Jones as well. Is this true, Alex? Walter Cronkite, the voice of the owl at this event?
Absolutely. And again, at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, you can link through at CoastToCoastAM.com. We have literally hundreds of mainstream news articles, documents released by the Grove to the University of California at Berkeley, where they go through some of what goes on there at the Grove, mainly political, how they make a lot of the major decisions in our world. And, yes, Walter Cronkite, at least in the past, I don't know about now, but I have read articles as late as the mid-1990s, that were written about it, saying that he is the voice of it. In fact, I was sent by a listener a while back, the Bohemian Club sesquicentennial, if I'm pronouncing that right, 125th anniversary, the Annals of the Bohemian Club, Volume 7, 1987 to 1996. And only 200 of these are printed every 10 years and go to the highest level members of it. I was sent one of these and thought, well, somebody didn't make a hardbound, you know, book that's 450 pages long and sent it to me, but I thought I better check it out. So I went to Amazon and typed it in and found out it was, I forget, it was over $600, $700 as a rare book.
Huh.
And so I called the Bohemian Grove in San Francisco, the main office of it, and talked to them, and they said, yes, that's our publication. That's an internal publication. This is the 1997 Bohemian Club, San Francisco, California. And so I just posted on the website, and again, there's a big link at Coast to Coast to it, and this just came out tonight, now this morning. The Bohemian Grove is an offshoot of Skull and Bones, new exclusive photos. This isn't just the video that I shot of the still from that video. It's two other photos from Cremation of Care in 1990 and 1991. Again, these are, I've seen these nowhere, and not in any publications,
right.
not online. This is brand new, folks. And guess guess who, in one of the pages in the middle of the book, there's a photo of Newt Gingrich, but right next to him there's a photo, Lakeside Talks, George Bush Jr. and George Bush. And it's George Bush and his daddy, and they're standing there at the Lakeside chat, right beneath the owl, I would add, during broad daylight, giving a little speech to the crowd of assembled luminaries there.
Well, I would guess they would all admit that they go there, but I bet they would all deny about some of these strange events that occur. Is that pretty accurate?
Absolutely. You know, I was interviewing Pat Buchanan about 2 years ago, and I had him on the air, and I was talking to him, and I like Pat Buchanan, and I said, hey, what about the Bohemian Grove? I got him into talking about when he was a Nixon speechwriter, mm-hmm. traveling around with Nixon. And he said, oh, yeah, Bohemian Grove, been there, a neat place. And I said, yeah, I've been there. And he goes, oh, yeah, sure. And I told him, I said, well, you know, I've witnessed the ritual. I've seen what how the old men greet each other
yeah.
when they haven't gotten into. And he went, huh? You've been there. And I said, yeah, it's a big documentary. It's, airing all over Europe and about to air here in the U.S. That was a few years ago. He went, oh, I mean, I was there, but I stayed outside, and I didn't go in with Nixon. And so he changed his story
just
real quick.
Backed
and
off
on
quickly.
Tape.
Now, Alex, these people have more money than God. There's no doubt about that. Are they bored? I mean, what do they want with this world domination anyway? Why don't they just leave us all alone?
Well, you know the song, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. It's not really true. The average person becomes successful, has a family, and it's not willing to stab people on the back or, you know, kill their grandma for more power. But the world is designed where really scum rises to the top. And I don't mean the top of an industry or golf or something. I mean the top of the pinnacles of power. And these are generational cults. These people are all interrelated. It's amazing. It's like Kerry and Bush, who were cousins, going to the same secret society. And having a very similar voting record, just having different rhetoric on the surface to confuse us, they're really just giving us two false choices of who the head boss will be of Slavery Incorporated. It's like two different high-level managers wanting the CEO job. And this is what history's all about, is tyranny. And you look at history, the Aztecs, the Romans, the Babylonians, I mean, you've always got these bizarre rituals where the elite are trying to gain godhood and believe they'll get power from this entity if they will just throw off their conscience and basically feed on the population. So this is the religion. This is the cult of parasites. This is the cult of the predator, of the psychopath. You know, most psychopaths, if you read criminology, most psychopaths are into Satanism or into the occult, believe in these entities that need them to do this. And so you find that with high-level psychopaths like Nero in Rome, who conducted public sacrifices and would, dress up like a wolf and bite people's necks open, at a dinner party. You see this over and over and over again, similar gods being worshipped again by the Aztecs. So it's a reoccurring theme globally going back thousands of years.
And why does it appear to be, at least it does for me, that whatever is happening seems to be happening at such a rapid clip right now?
Oh, you're right. Everything
I can
is at total
that.
Acceleration pace, warp speed right now, and we're seeing the revelation of the method. We're seeing the externalization of the method. They are now revealing themselves. Everywhere is the all-seeing eye. When you go in a coffee shop, there's the all-seeing eye. It's Starbucks everywhere. When you look at Time Warner, it's the all-seeing eye of Horus with the triple you-know-what. I mean, it's just everywhere in your face, and now they're announcing their new world order, and now it's coming out that Tony Blair channels the light and takes his orders from this entity in the Times of London 2 days ago. I mean, they're just throwing it in our face right now because they're taking us to the next level, and that's more terror attacks that a group even above the Bohemian Grove are using their minions to activate to, again, scare us into the next level of submission. So they're preparing us for the new horror, the next level.
Now let me ask you about that for a moment. Do you believe that Osama bin Laden is part of the tools by this shadow group?
Absolutely. Dr. Titania Kardajnia, the top German economist, months before said they're about to attack New York to, you know, this $300 trillion group that's bigger than all our governments. Countless other people have talked about this. Bin Laden is an admitted CIA asset. Bush Sr. was meeting with his older brother on 9/11, eating breakfast at the Ritz-Carlton in D.C. That's the London Guardian. They flew the Bin Ladens out, 144 of them that day, when all their air traffic was grounded. You've got public officials being warned not to fly. Mayor Willie Brown, San Francisco Chronicle, gets a call by the White House, told not to fly to New York that day. The Joint Chiefs of Staff told not to fly to New York, MSNBC. These are all in the 9/11 section. But again, I'm not even saying that Bush and his cronies did this. They are just puppets going along with this system. And
they may not be able to do anything about it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I don't believe that the power structure, they're mid-level. They take their orders. They're an old-line servant family. They're part of the bloodlines, but again, they're mid-level. So was Bill Clinton's, you know, so are all these people. And they're all intermarried, but they're just lords, under the overlords that are above them. They're just mid-level nobles or functionaries, and that's how this whole thing is set up. It's bloodlines, it's royalty, it's control. And, I have no doubt that if we weren't getting the word out of who's really behind this terror and the fact that giving up liberty doesn't give us security, that they would have already carried out more attacks. That's the plan. Long before 9/11, I was out videotaping the urban warfare training drills to put us in camps, to take our guns. I read the Patriot Act right after it was passed in 2001 in October, and it Section 802, any misdemeanor is an act of terrorism. Section 802, any action that endangers human life that's a violation of any federal or state law, you have all your rights stripped away. And then I hear these politicians saying, oh, no, it doesn't affect citizens. Well, now they've reported that, in Las Vegas, they're using it against topless bars, county commissioners, in Tennessee against pot dealers. George, in the police state section tonight, I had my webmaster repost this on the main page just for this show, because every claim I'm making sounds nuts, but it's right out in the open. And on the website, Infowars.com, when you click on the martial law section, is it the martial law section or the police state section? Ah, here it is. When you click on this, I have an article from 3 weeks ago, News 10, in Providence, Rhode Island, and it says in the article that if you fly anything but the American flag, you'll be arrested as a terrorist. Now, that sounds insane. It says it. The governor tried to pass it. He got this law when he was at a Governor Ridge Homeland Security meeting. It says if you do anything that's illegal or anything that upsets the government or anything that threatens the government, basically criticism, it says you can be arrested as a terrorist. It is the 1918 sedition laws. And then the governor had a backlash, and we have the article posted, where he said, I apologize, I hadn't read the bill. But it's worse, George.
He signs it, but he hasn't read it, huh?
Absolutely.
But that's typical for most elected officials.
Absolutely, but it's even worse. Then under that article, I have the article posted from last year in Oregon. Did you hear about the bill Senator Menace, and that's no pun intended, did you hear about the bill Senator Menace introduced?
No, tell me about that.
Okay. Senator Menace, this is on the site right now, introduced a bill, and I'm trying to find and give you the bill number. I'm searching the site right now.
All right.
He introduced a bill that says if one protester blocks traffic, everyone in the protest is given life in prison.
What?
Life in prison, that word for word, life in prison in a forest labor camp. Now that's a quote, George. Now, that's a quote. And, it sounds insane. It sounds hard to believe. It's right there posted underneath the Coast to Coast AM emblem on Infowars.com. You can go into the police station.
Do you believe that these camps have been and are being built right now?
On the website, let me click the concentration camp headline. Let me go to the L.A. Times, because I don't want to just sit here and say this and then, have people go, oh, well, that's just his opinion. I have the L.A. Times article right here that says, Camps for Citizens, Ashcroft's Hellish Vision. Attorney General John Ashcroft's announced desire for camps for U.S. citizens he deems to be enemy combatants has moved him from being merely being a political embarrassment to being a constitutional menace. Village Voice, Newsmax. Here's Newsmax reporting last year on 3 1-million-man camps. They got the purchase orders for these. In my film, The Takeover, I have clips of Senate hearings where they talk about these. They're passing the same laws in England. And so, yes, sir. And it's all there in the police state section. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these articles, you know, just right there in your face in front of everyone. And I just clipped, just clicked.
Now, is this happening, Alex?
Archive, where we have General Tommy Franks and the December cigar aficionado, the outgoing head of CENTCOM. He said that after the next terror attack, we're going to, quote, set aside the Constitution in favor of a military form of government. General Eberhardt, the current head of NORTHCOM, our new military command, told the L.A. Times about 2 months ago that, yes, the Pentagon's watching you. Yes, we're going to have troops on the streets. Yes, we're getting rid of Posse Comitatus, but that's a good thing. And that article is posted there in the InfoWars Martial Law Archive. It's a subsection of the police state section. So they're all right there. I mean, these are not my words.
Okay, when you see things, though, Alex, like what happened yesterday, this horrible train bombing in Madrid, Spain, 190-plus people dead, 1,400 people injured, and then you have a news release come out that says Al-Qaeda's responsible, you sit back and your patriotism, number one, wants to agree with what you just heard. You don't want to assume that there's a group out there doing these things for sinister reasons. It's very difficult, and I'm sure even you, when you report this, have to bite your tongue sometimes to say, is this really happening?
Absolutely. My heart goes out to the 190 people that died and to the thousands of family members, but governments, in the name of keeping people safe, in the name of security, have killed 200 million people in the 20th century. Hitler blew up his own Reichstag to get control. And, George, on the website, I have a link to Library of Congress, the Northwoods Plan. I know you've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the ABC News article, Baltimore Sun article, Official U.S. Government Terror Plan, headline, U.S. Government Plan to Terrorize U.S. Cities for Pretext for War. And Kennedy said no to the plan and was assassinated just a few months later. So, you know, it's happening. But here's the Portland, Oregon Reuters. It says an Oregon anti-terror bill would jail street-blocking protesters for at least 25 years in a thinly veiled effort to discourage anti-war demonstrators, critics say. Now, again, we have a link to the bill as well. It says 25 years if you agree to working in the forest labor camp, life if you don't. It says the bill has met strong opposition, but lawmakers are still expected to debate the definition of terrorism. And in there, it lists over 80 things that are an act of terrorism. It says downloading music illegally will get you life in the forest labor camp.
Oh, come on. Really?
Now, George, you said for a couple of years you've been watching me, looking at the site.
Yes.
All I'm doing is reading mainstream news articles.
I know that.
But what I do is I go out and I grab all these to create this complete picture. And you know, these little insane articles that nobody ever hears about.
These little pieces of a puzzle that you have been collecting all these years are beginning to give you the shape of what this puzzle looks like. What does it look like to you?
Abject, total slavery. Just total and complete enslavement. Neighborhood watch being taken over by FEMA, your cable guy, your phone guy spying on you. We think, oh, terrorism, that means people that bomb trains. Well, no, terrorism is pot. Terrorism is topless bars. Terrorism is county commissioners taking bribes. The Justice Department said that Patriot Act 2 didn't exist months after it had been introduced, and now sections of it were passed last year. So, I mean, it's the complete dishonesty. It's all lawyer wordsmithing. Oh, don't worry. This is only for terrorists, but we're all defined as terrorists. If you're suspected of a misdemeanor, you can have a bag thrown over your head, thrown in a van, and you're never seen again, like something out of Alexander Schultz and Nietzsche's Gulag Archipelago.
Are you surprised that nothing has happened to this country since 9/11?
again, because we've been getting the word out of this larger overarching force that is using the terror to bring in the New World Order, because we've been exposing it, I believe that's backed them off. Also, having, it's 400 cities now, it's over 400, it's not 250 or 300, three states, 400 plus cities and towns have thrown the Patriot Act out. A lot of people have gone public against it. A lot of people are seeing what's happening.
Well, the story I just read, which you have on your website, by the way, about this matrix, this anti-crime database, now states that had joined it are beginning to jump off.
Well, there you go again. See, a great point. Look, why did they call it the matrix? I mean, look, if I read the Boston Globe article that I'm looking at right now, where DARPA says they're not just going to have brain scanners, which are already in five airports, that scan your brain to see if you're a terrorist. No, now DARPA says they want to put mind control towers up to make sure we're good if there's a crisis. Microwave guns on top of these new mass-produced black SWAT vehicles they're going to be rolling out. Sound wave guns. Those aren't for Iraq, folks. I saw Marines training 6-7 years ago to use that on you and your family and admitting it's for here domestically. So this is the bigger picture.
Do you think a Marine would use it on an American?
Here's the problem. They give them the surveys, and then 76% say no on average. They get rotated overseas, get given the deadly vaccine, and get taken out basically with a soft kill weapon, a slow kill weapon. Meanwhile, the 20-something percent that say yes go into plain clothes and are all over the place right now. I have a Wall Street Journal
hold
article.
It. Hold a thought. Hold a thought, Eric. Alex, we'll be right back with you. Whoa. Alex, do you believe that this commission investigating 9/11 and whether our officials knew about this in advance or had some kind of prior knowledge, will be able to issue an accurate report, or do you think it might be a whitewash?
Well, George, you probably know my answer to that. And let me just say this. I didn't mean to go into one of my frothing hysteria fits in the last segment. Every question you ask is so important, and there's so much evidence here staring us in the face of what's happening. I was trying to squeeze it all in, all the generals talking about martial law, the Wall Street Journal. This came out on the 9th of this month. Is the military creeping into domestic law enforcement about the secret police military here in Austin, asking people about meetings they had, criticizing the government at UT? I mean, this is insane. And you ask, will the 9/11 Commission do a good job? One of the commissioners, who just left a few months ago, was given a big international bank job through the federal government. Some of the others who are involved in the commission are in business dealings with the administration. I mean, it's like when Janet Reno appointed John Danforth, Senator Danforth, to investigate her. And it was funded by the Justice Department. And then they call it an independent commission. Remember, about a year and a half ago when they set up this commission, they tried to have Henry Kissinger as his chairman.
Yeah, and then he refused to disclose who his clients were, and so he left.
Yeah, Kissinger and Associates and the Carlyle Group. And I mean, how do you have somebody investigating 9/11 when the Bushes... Look, Bush doesn't arrest anybody with connections to Al-Qaeda. No one's got more connections to Al-Qaeda than the people in this administration. And again, that's not my opinion. The articles are posted on the site. And it's just all right out there in plain view, but it's so incredible, people aren't going to believe it until it's too late. I mean, it's, you know, it can't happen here.
I've got to ask you this. Is it true that that George Bush, before he became president, in his oil company, had as a stockholder Osama bin Laden's brother, Mohammed, who since died in a plane crash in Texas? Is that true?
He died in 1988 in San Antonio in a convenient plane crash, and Salim bin Laden still involved. And of course, Bush Sr. was having breakfast at 8:30 in the morning with the head of the bin Laden family, and then helped them fly out that afternoon.
So, but that is true, you're saying?
Yeah, that was all in Vanity Fair. I mean, I reported it 2.5 years ago, but it was in Vanity Fair 6 months ago. On the site in the 9/11 archive. I hate to keep plugging the sites, but that's where all the proof is. Right there, we have over 600 news articles. We have the Fort Worth Star-Telegram reporting before the election about Bush and the bin Ladens. We have the Wall Street Journal right after the election saying the Bushes need to get out of this board of Carlisle because the Bin Ladens are on it, and they are, you know, aiding and involved with terrorism. We have all this there. And yes, it is true, people. It is all true. And so that's why, look, we have a section on PrisonPlanet.com, which is BBC, London Guardian, London Telegraph, where the British government just calmly announced, you know, page 25, that, oh, yeah, we've been carrying out most of the bombings of the last 25 years as a pretext to keep troops in Northern Ireland and as a pretext to set up, you know, 4 million security cameras in London. And then no one brings it out as a big story. That's how they do it, just back of the paper, oh, it's no big deal. I've got articles where Vladimir Putin's FSB, the new KGB,
yes,
was caught in 99, right before the election. They Moscow police caught the KGB planting bombs in the fourth building. Caught them planting them, arrested them. And then Putin had all the police arrested and the media people arrested who reported on it. So it's the oldest trick in the book. I don't know what happened in Madrid yet. We'll have to see the evidence as it comes out. But where there's smoke, there's fire. Look, after Oklahoma City, the FBI got its funding doubled. No one was punished for allowing that to happen. After 9/11, again, a doubling of anti-terrorism funding. 3 days after the attack, Bush goes to the CIA, has a three-minute standing ovation, you know, there in the atrium standing on the Star Eagle, where his father once stood as the director, and they clap and celebrate. And what are they celebrating? The people, the FBI agents who blocked the good FBI agents who tried to stop the hijackers, guess what happened? They got cash bonuses. The ones that aided the terrorists, that allowed them to get the passports in, that knew who they were, they got cash bonuses. And to this day, FBI agent Robert Wright, who's been at the National Press Club and just said, I can't tell you what I know. Here's the letter. I'll be arrested. All I can say is the Bushes vacation with the Bin Ladens. Now, I have that on video from the National Press Club.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And
George, the problem is I could just spew information for 50 hours. I mean, it is a nightmare.
You know, and I don't doubt that these things are going on. I don't doubt. I mean, I sit back and I say, okay, it is true that his brother had a relationship with him, but that doesn't mean he had a relationship with Osama. But then I keep saying to myself, what are the odds of this happening?
Well, also, then you've got Bush Sr. meeting that morning. But guess who else was meeting with some people on the morning of September 11th?
I don't even want to guess.
Newsday, the New York Times, the Washington Post all reported, and these are on the site, that General Mahmoud Ahmed, the head of Pakistani intelligence,
mm-hmm,
the man who wired $100,000 to Mohammed Atta, the lead hijacker, guess who he was having breakfast with that morning?
Tell me.
That, now, it was his second trip in his life to the U.S. Well, 2 days before, he met with George Tenet. And then he met at the White House the day before, and then that morning he was having breakfast with the heads of the House and Senate Intelligence Committee in the Capitol, and the New York Times said the aide walked in and said the towers have been hit, and one of the senators turned and said, we know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, but I mean, I'm saying I had a TV on or something. The point is, it's just magically, all these people are here, and when all air traffic's grounded, 144 of the Bin Ladens are all flown out of the country.
Yes, that is true. I don't know what the number was, but I knew that that happened. Let's go to some calls. You ready?
Sure.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You are on with Alex Jones. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. Good show tonight, George. I really appreciate you having Alex on. Alex, I've read your book, 9-1-1, Descent into Global Tyranny. I'd like to recommend that to everybody. It's a really... really great book. I read it in just a few hours. My question is, I've got two young daughters. One's 4 and one's 5 weeks old. What can we do to stop this? Because it seems like they're just, you know, these guys have, like George said, they've got so much money, so much power. What can be done that we could take our country back and really go back to the way this country should be?
Well, most FBI, most police, most military good people, they're told we have to do this to protect the homeland, the Reichland. Understand that you have to teach your daughters to go, oh, look, did you know the Pentagon's funding some of the big TV shows now? Oh, it's called propaganda placement, not product placement. Oh, look at this Fox show where every episode of 24 with Kiefer Sutherland, the government's torturing someone with blood squirting out of them, conditioning us that torture's good. Oh, look, Threat Matrix, every episode, they're torturing someone on ABC. Here, let's open the newspaper up. They're telling us torture's good. They have to mutate our minds through mass conditioning to accept all this Joseph Mengele-style evil. That it's oh good to keep the homeland safe. So simply teach your children how to think, how to see it for themselves. I wouldn't pressure them. I would just say, do you see it when they get old enough? I wouldn't say they're old enough now. And then they'll look. Once you show somebody, you know, teach somebody how to fish, don't catch fish for them. And once you show somebody the scams that are going on, hey, why is the Austin Police Department driving black armored vehicles with skull and crossbones painted on the side? Do the good guys wear black ski masks? Why is a camera going up in my neighborhood? Hey, the public school just put thumb scanners in to get school lunches. Hey, did you hear about Tennessee? They put cameras in the bathrooms. Didn't they have cameras in the bathrooms in 1984? This isn't freedom, people. And we've just got to point it out and say no and stop giving aid and comfort to the enemy that is the New World Order that is destroying this country.
And maybe the world.
Oh, they are. Oh, absolutely. They look, and America isn't bad. The big multinational corporations control the governments, and they're just using America, and they're using us because we are good people. They're using us, fooling us into doing their work for them.
How come we have really never found out who shorted all the stock short during 9/11?
Well, we did find out, but, well, you know, first 2 days, oh my gosh.
Well, you might have found out, but the mainstream media didn't.
Exactly, George, but... Again, each question you ask is like an hour of information. That's why I get so sped up here trying to get it all out. It's a great question. Look, first 2 days we all heard record billions of put options against American and United, you know,
and insurance companies.
We're going to find out who did this. And when it led back to major Fortune 500 companies, that story disappeared. And there's news articles out on it, and that's based. The London Independent, let's just say, has done some great work and found out where the money went.
That is the biggest story of the century, because that will tell you who was involved.
Well, also, we should ask the White House why they called Mayor Willie Brown and said, don't fly to New York today. Why they called Salman Rushdie and said, don't fly to New York today. Why they called the Joint Chiefs of Staff and said, don't go to New York today. We need to ask why, when golfer Payne Stewart's aircraft was off course for 15 minutes, it was surrounded within 20 minutes by a bunch of F-16s in the middle of nowhere, but the most controlled airspace in the world, the Eastern Seaboard, New York DC corridor, you got a planes flying around wild for an hour and 25 minutes and nothing's done.
And NATO called very late. If at all.
Absolutely. It's incredible.
Let's go to West of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Well, I'm very pleased to hear this show. I've been aware of this. I read a book by Gary Kaa, En Route to Global Occupation, years and years ago, through Jeff Van Impe, and I'm just totally pleased. I have a question. How do you think this is going to affect the reservations once the world order, I'm part Native American, goes into effect? And also, what do you think about sovereign citizenship? And why can't we all just get a class action lawsuit and sue the federal government for usurping the authority of democracy?
Well, here in our constitutional republic, I mean, look at what's happened to the Native Americans having their land stolen routinely. What have the suits done? You know, that's the problem. When you've got $1.2 trillion missing from the Pentagon over the last 9 years, that's bipartisan mass raping and looting of the entire economy. And that's what the NAFTA and GATT and all of this is about. We have the World Bank documents. The chief economist quit and said, I won't be part of this 2 years ago, Joseph Stiglitz. They don't care about us living well. They want to get us under their control, dumbed down, living in basically cardboard boxes. That's their ideal serf system. Because if you're starving to death or in abject poverty or brain damage from vaccines, you're not going to be putting up a resistance for them. So, I mean, it doesn't look well for all human beings if we don't have a revelation, a renaissance of understanding on this subject.
6 billion people, Alex, on this planet, and I'm told that the World Order Group would love it down to 500 million.
Well, Prince Philip, husband of Queen Elizabeth, in his book, If I Was an Animal, and I have the quotes in my book, said that I'd like to come back as a particularly deadly virus to kill 80% of the population. Ted Turner and Audubon Society dinner said I want to kill 95%. And then you go back to who engineered AIDS and the different government programs that were there. I on the website for the Library of Congress, we have the 1973 declassified documents, declassified in 92, where Henry Kissinger told the five most populous third world countries, you get no IMF or World Bank money unless you forcibly sterilize half your women. Now that's mainstream. That's mainstream. In my film Road to Tyranny, I have the news articles where Australia official government documents came out 2 years ago. They said, yes, it's true, we had a program, but we won't say if it was ever implemented through different types of spraying and other operations in the air to sterilize and reduce the population and to sterilize people of Asia. So, I mean, I'm just knee-deep in not rumors or theory, but facts.
Have you looked into the 300 elk that have died in Wyoming over the last month? You need to do that.
It's happening all over, just all sorts of bizarre spongiforms and weird funguses killing elk and whitetail and mule all over the country.
Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast, you're on with Alex Jones. Hi there.
Hello, Alex?
Yes, he's there.
Yeah, excuse me, I'm a little nervous, I stutter a lot.
Don't worry about that.
Well, I'm nervous too. So.
After listening to you, Alex, I'm nervous too.
I live in Rockport, Texas, and you know, in this town, there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of real powerful people that are related to George Bush. My uncle knows George Bush personally. I'm not going to get into that, but first of all, if there's any way that if you could investigate what's going on here, because. Because there's a society here. It's not as flashy as like what you said on Bohemian Grove, but something does exist, and it has to do with George Bush. And
well, no. Without having facts, like Alex is presenting things that he has found and published and stuff. I don't want to deal with simply innuendo.
I'm spewing a lot of information out here, but I'm looking right at my website, everything I say, and I'm just quoting. Because that's how I've been able to do this over the years, is just go off what is admitted. That already is just huge. But there are lots of little craft that come out of these motherships, and that's what Skull and Bones and Bohemian Grove are. And you've got lots of wannabe minions who simulate this, but I have no knowledge of the town you're talking about.
East of the Rockies, you are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
This world needs an enema. Hi, George. This is Steve from NW, Ohio, listening on 1150 WIMA.
Hi, Steve.
Alex, was it these groups that set up the United Nations after the League of Nations failed to go through to be the possible future one-world military?
And well, absolutely. The UN is the receivership office, and then NATO is going to be the new military arm of that, and then the World Trade Organization gets rid of the borders and helps domesticate the population. The World Health Organization carries out the eugenics programs. So they're all fingers or digits on this ogre's hand. And if you look at who goes to the Bohemian Grove or who's in Skull and Bones or who's in CFR or Trilateral Commission, it's a couple hundred guys that chair all the different organizations. And then they've got a few thousand minions that serve them who are billionaires. And then below that, you've just got the corporate structure of compartmentalization.
Right. Are you familiar with the State Department publication 7277?
Yeah, that's 1963, and
what is that?
And the law passed for total disarmament. The UN said in 2001 on July 7th at their UN Small Arm Conference in New York, quote, UNIDIR, the UN disarmament body, said, quote, civilian ownership of firearms threatens the legitimate power monopoly of the state. Now, what is power monopoly of the state? That's a nice word for dictatorship, for command and control.
Well, that's one thing I trust they will never do, is take the guns away from us. But they'd love to, wouldn't they?
You know, I'm not a gun nut, but I love the Second Amendment because it's a canary in the coal mine, and it's an insurance policy. The fact that it's there means they can't do all the huge, wide-scale, horrible things they want, because they know that if even 1% physically resist, We're talking about 1.5 million combatants, but I don't want that to happen. The answer is the hearts and minds. And God bless you, George Norrie, for having the incredible courage of letting me come on this broadcast and rant and rave.
We'll be back with you in just a moment, Alex Jones, and more phone calls as they continue to keep coming in. They're hot. I'll be back. Alex, I'm going to have you back periodically. I'm pretty intuitive about people, and there's something about you and this quest for the truth that I think we would do you and the country a disservice if we didn't keep bringing you back every once in a while.
Well, George, thank you so much because, frankly, and I've talked to a lot of people, Coast to Coast AM has one of the biggest audiences, and I know the most responsive audience of people taking action, informing others, and you know, I seem frantic sometimes because there's just so much, because I just live my life studying and fighting this corruption, because I feel it is a personal threat to myself and my family, and I know historically cowering to it and not facing it only empowers it. And I know you've got loaded phones, but I could just make one key point that I feel people need to hear. You were asking, you know, what are they up to? Why do they want this? Why are they pushing? Why are they so ruthless? They have a very sick rationale that I continually come across in declassified policy reports of the 60s and 70s. And the globalists say, look, there's going to be all these bioweapons, all these advanced nanotechnologies, all these systems that can destroy the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to have a world dictatorship to control it so that rogue nations don't do this. Well, you have to be honest about that. You have to have powerful sovereign nation states that have treaties with each other and do control this. But instead, every time I research these globalists, they're a bunch of inbred psychopaths who are sadistic and enjoy all this evil, and this is their excuse. And then you catch them arming Pakistan, arming North Korea, arming China. Our own government armed the Russians. I fell over 2 years ago on the History Channel. They had the old CIA section chief go, well, we actually put Mao into power, contrary to popular belief, because we thought he was better. David Rockefeller in the New York Times, when Mao died, said, oh, he was great, and, you know, this was a great revolution. So the point is, they see us as bees in a beehive. They're a bunch of control freaks, and they've got this rationale that they're saving the planet. Well, in truth, they're destroying it. And so we need to understand where they're coming from, and that's where they're coming from. They think they're gods, and they think it's their job to mold us like clay. And then you look at how they've molded us. They're turning us into a bunch of mind-numbed idiots while proliferating weapons, setting up World War III that they say is going to finally bring in their one-world government.
You know, they kept saying that Saddam Hussein in Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, and I'll say two quick things about that. He was no Boy Scout. He was a butcher, needed to be removed. But the sad part about the whole thing, Alex, is we were the ones who propped him up. We were the ones who gave him the chemicals and biologicals. That's one of the reasons we thought he still had them. We gave them to him.
Republican Report, 1994, Alphonse D'Amato, one reason they kicked him out and put Schumer in. Republicans go against their own people when they do the right thing. And our government armed him. And look, he is a monster. He was trained by the CIA as a hitman in 1954. They put him in as the head BAF security chief. They told him to invade Iran. They told him, go ahead and go after Iraq. That's on videotape. Meanwhile, our government turned a blind eye and helped arm Pakistan while they were handing out nuke components like they were lollipops at the, you know, after a haircut. So you're absolutely right, George, and I don't like my family being endangered by these people who arm all these enemies, create the terror groups, and then stand on top of rubble and tell me to give up my liberties for security.
Who propped up Osama bin Laden when they wanted to get the Soviets out of Afghanistan? We did.
Exactly.
We did. By the way, where do be on your websites, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. People can hear you, can't they?
Sure, George. I mean, that's incredible. I've never heard of a little radio host letting somebody else plug their show, much less the biggest show in the country. But sure, I have a radio show 11 to 2 during the day Central, and it's at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And it's on, you know, quite a few radio stations around the country, you know, here and there, but obviously nothing like your show on every blowtorch in the nation. But Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, it's on shortwave, too, and quite a few AM and FMs here and there. And we also have a huge audio section at PrisonPlanet.com with the former German defense minister, former technology minister, Andre von Bülow. You should interview him. He has the best-selling book in Germany, like 10 weeks running, laying out how the globalists carried out 9/11. I've interviewed David Shippers, former impeachment lawyer on Clinton.
Right.
Exposing how the government had prior knowledge. He went to them and said they're about to attack Lower Manhattan, stop them. I mean, I've interviewed hundreds of these people, and folks can go listen to those interviews in the audio section of Prison
Great.
Planet.
Good for you.
But I mean, I think it's a better idea, George. I mean, you ought to have these fine people on. I can give you their phone numbers.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll do that. But at the same time, I mean, you are doing a service, and I want people to have an opportunity to find you.
Wow. Anyway. Well, God bless you. Man, I tell you, folks, George Norrie's for real because believe me, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, small radio hosts and newspaper people that have told me they know it's true, but they're scared to death. And here's George Norrie just laying it out, and just God bless you.
Let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, you are on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, Tom from Reno, Nevada.
Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
On 780 KOH, listening to you.
Sure thing.
Alex. You used to be in Reno on Liberty Works Radio, I believe it was, until they went bankrupt and we lost you. And I used to listen to you every day, just fascinated.
Well, that was the one network picking up my feed. I wasn't on their network. I mean, they just picked the show up, yeah.
Yeah, but it was great listening to you. I learned a lot. Let me ask you a couple of questions. One, do you think Waco was practiced for the Army invasion and the cover-up? Do you think that this letting in the illegal immigrants in is to cripple the nation?
Well, there's policy reports on all of that. Let me just give you a nutshell. I don't have to surmise what Iraq was about. Dick Cheney in 2000 wrote a 40-page document called Rebuilding America's Defenses, published in September 4th of 2000. And it was written by Cheney and Rumsfeld. It's one of hundreds of PNAC documents at New American Century's website. And they said, Saddam is not a threat, he's a pretext to get the oil and to use Iraq as a military launch base. It's also not just about oil, it's about billions in weapon sales, no-bid contracts, and it's about training the military in urban suppression and takeover drills for here in the U.S., and that's official U.S. government documents.
And I'll tell you one thing. Though oil is important to this country, we should be finding alternative fuels, but I guarantee you, when Iraq gets its own independent government, I bet we don't release the oil fields.
Wow, very, you know, that's a great point. People also think that it's just about pumping the oil out. No. They boost prices by not letting it flow. You see, that's another control system. I mean, notice that the oil companies are all posting record profits, but what's the average gas price now, $2?
Yeah, and we are now at a point where the availability of oil is so free. You know, when you have the second largest oil reserves in the world in Iraq right now, starting to flow oil.
And the third largest in Afghanistan, and a giant reserve in Alaska we can't get.
And you got the Saudis with the worlds, and they're supporting everything we do. And our oil, our gasoline prices are going through the roof, almost approaching $3 a gallon. There's something wrong here.
I'm right down the road from the refineries, and the prices are exploding here, and I've read articles of it being over $3 in some areas.
That's frightening. Let's go back to the phones. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yes, hi. George. Excellent show. Great show, and I hope that he will be a regular.
Oh, he's got the invite.
Over 15 years, I think, or so ago, I purchased William Cooper's book, Behold the Pale Horse.
Yes.
And in there, he was former intelligence. In there, he actually goes into the documentation on the camps, the concentration camps.
Well, ma'am, I have video, okay? I've been to the camps.
Wow.
Okay? And I have video. I have the Marines admitting. I have FEMA telling police that the camps, this is in Road to Tyranny, saying that, again, this sounds insane. I have it on tape. That the founding fathers are terrorists, that Christians are terrorists, that homeschoolers are terrorists, environmental activists are terrorists. Anybody that doesn't lick the government's boots is a terrorist. And I know this sounds nuts, but I have the articles, I have the training manuals, and I have it on video.
let me ask you this question. I'd like you to go into how the people are such sheeple and the different levels of mind control around Guantanamo, where people, you know, four or five people were just released to Britain, and they had no charges to bring on them.
Well, Guantanamo is sleight of hand. It's a serious human rights violation, but it's a diversion. The real people that are tortured are taken to Jordan and to Egypt, and the CIA section chief 2 years ago in the Washington Post said, we are torturing them in these countries. And again, every time we research who they are, they're not real terrorists. This is getting a cadre of military people who are used to torturing prepared.
Jeez. I mean, you know, it is so frustrating, Alex, to hear this, to know it, to feel it, and to sit back and watch it unfold. I mean, it's like a nightmare, isn't it?
It is a nightmare, but it's also invigorating to stand up and fight it. I mean, that's how I stay sane, is that I just continually fight it, and I continually fight it. You know, I was sitting there this morning, George, a local radio station, well, yesterday morning now, you know, got up there at 7 in the morning, and I'm sitting there, and I was telling the host things in the studio. He kept saying, that's not true, this isn't true. And he's like, well, okay, well, I have trouble believing that. And I just say, go to Google, type in the search word. He type it in, boom, it'd be there. Boom, that's CBS, that's ABC. He goes, but I never really noticed it. See, people don't pay attention to it because they'll mix it in with football and NASCAR and Paris Hilton, and then in the middle of it, troops are going to be out protecting the Super Bowl, face scanning cameras keep you safe, RFID and all the products will help you. You know, so they just mix it in, and what I do is, and now it's like a fire hose of information, you know, blasting into my face every day. A few years ago, it was like a pixie straw. All I do is just take it and splash it on there and go, look at it. Is that freedom?
One day, let's hope we don't have pictures of both of us on our own websites in a concentration camp behind a fence looking at each other.
You know what? They would love to do that, George, but they're not
going to
get away with it.
East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, yes, Mr. Jones, you're a great journalist. You're one of the reasons why I don't need cable TV anymore. I get great information from people like yourself and John Buchanan, the journalist here at NewHampshireGazette.com. He brought up a lot about the Bush-Nazi dealings. It has to do with the grandfather, Prescott Bush. It's not a personal attack on the present president.
I understand.
Yes, but I'd like to ask you, and it's also the uncovered, the whole truth about the Iraq War, the DVD by Robert Greenwald just coming out. It's got a lot of great information there, too. And I'd like to ask you, sir, the fact after 9/11 and all the nationalism that has been nurtured, has been brought forth, how are we going to be so passive before a world government or United Nations?
Sir, that's a false nationalism. Nationalism is good if it's for the Bill of Rights and Constitution and Liberty. America's good.
Yes.
It's all good cop, bad cop. The UN, it was destined 6 months ago, Romano Prodi, the former head EU chief, now head ambassador to the world. They call him ambassador of the world. He goes around doing all the deals. He said, I've already met with Bush. This is all of the European papers. The UN will take over in the next year. We play the part of the bad cop. Then the UN comes in as the good cop and saves them, and then they accept them. Okay, so the UN was created by our military-industrial complex, set up in San Francisco, and so they create this false paradigm, again, good cop, bad cop, like Kerry Bush, depending on who you see the good cop or who you see the bad cop as. It's all manipulation. It's a facade, a mirage, a con.
But you were just talking about the Russians and Vladimir Putin. I believe what you were saying about the buildings where he punished the Moscow police for stopping the KGB from planting more bombs. But at the same time,
yeah, I call it the KGB because that's who they are. They changed the name to FSB, but yeah.
Yes, but the Russian people were an empire, were a great nation. Not a. We like to think of ourselves as neo-colonial at worst, not a colonial people. But like the Russian people, we have a great history. I can't see us as being like lambs before the United Nations green.
It's real simple. The globalists release smallpox. Okay, it causes riots, breakdown. People will do anything as long as they can get back to waxing their Lexus. They say, here's the answer, give up liberty, and you'll get freedom. That's how it happens. But they can't release the smallpox because 99%+ of the firefighters and police refuse to take the shot, so their own enforcers won't take it, so now they can't make them make us take it.
Yep, now they got a problem.
See, exactly, and a lot of that because of you, George, and, of course, having Joyce Riley on and others exposing this.
Well, I've got to tell you, Alex, you know, I've always reacted all my life from my gut, and it has never steered me wrong. I've gone wrong sometimes when I didn't react to it, and something here tells me not to let go of this, and I'm not going to.
Well, we can't do it, and again, I just hope people will visit Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, and if they want to find out about 9/11, if they want to find out about the concentration camps, that's in my police state videos, if they want to know about Bohemian Grove, dark secrets inside Bohemian Grove, there's a secure, safe online shopping cart, and anybody that gets my videos, you're authorized to make copies, folks. You heard that. No copyright on these. I just want you to get these videos out to everybody and do it now. It is so important. And the toll-free number to get the videos or books or any of it, 1-888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. And George Norrie, you are just awesome.
Let's wrap it up with a few more callers, Alex. Let's go to you, Wild Card Line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning, George. Good morning, WRKO Joe from Boston.
Oh, hi, Joe. How are you?
So glad you're on, Alex. I got four quick questions I wanted to ask.
We'll have time for maybe one, Joe. Okay, we're down to the bottom.
Okay, I'll go. Alex, has your family been threatened, and are you going to continue with your work if anything ever happens, like Bill Cooper? And is all your stuff available on tape or disc? Because I don't have internet access, and I'll hang up.
Yeah, some of them are on DVD, and all of them are on VHS. Look, you know, I don't like to advertise for the enemy. Fear's their game. And, yeah, early on, I've been death threatened. I've had the person call up, you know, on a secure line and say, Mr. Jones, time for you to stop reporting on, you know, I just ignore it. I just move forward. And understand, I'm a pretty big fish in this. If they haven't killed me yet, you're safe. They're not going to get you unless you cower and let them turn good people into evil people by fooling them. We've got to stand up. We've got to say no. When I was rebuilding the Branch Davidian Church, I'm not a Davidian, I built a memorial church for those that died, and I was doing an investigation and exposing the judge who was involved in it and all this business and exposing the Delta Force, I did get some death threats. I came out of the TV studio one time and four hired thugs attacked me, and I'm not bragging, but I know how to defend myself, so let's just say we all didn't look too well. And, you know, I mean, that's just the way it goes. But after I went through that, we're talking 5-6 years ago, nothing ever happened again. And I'm willing to die for my family. I'm not going to deliver my family into the hands of the New World Order. You know, just a couple thousand scumbags conning the rest of us because they control the levers of power. I'm going to stand up for humanity because I owe it to my progeny.
You're a bulldog, Alex. Don't let go.
I'll try not to, George.
All right. I appreciate you being part of the program. And you know what? You'll be back again.
Well, thank you so much, George, and God bless you.
Take care. Alex Jones says it the way he sees it, and he backs it up. Very, very important. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Barbara Simpson, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, yes, I mean this. Be safe, everyone.